I get the privilege of introducing Jody, our speaker tonight. And I really got to know her last year. We did a Promise 686 dinner together. And one thing I noticed about her, she's really, really good at like crafts. So she did these awesome centerpieces with hydrangeas and candles. And it was right before Thanksgiving, and I was hosting. And so I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to do that centerpiece. And so I got this cute little basket and then, you know, lit the candles and put hydrangeas in. And then kind of halfway through dinner, I was like, those are kind of wilting, you know. And then kept as dinner went on, I was like, by the end of dinner, I was like, they were totally, you know, dried. And so I asked Jody, I was like, you know, I did what you did with hydrangeas. And she was like, you need water for the flowers. So actually, what'd you say? It was like wet paper towels and foil. Foil. So note to self, don't just put hydrangeas. They'll dry up on the table. Clearly, you know more than I do. So Jody's really good at, you know, DIY type projects. Like the last time we got together, she was she had just mixed cement to try to fix her driveway. So she's always doing something. But so Jody and Rick, her husband, have been married for 25 years, and they live in Johns Creek and attend Perimeter. And they're originally from the Midwest. You'll hear when she gets up to speak. But I love this. She has a sign that says, I wasn't born in the South, but I got here as fast as I could. So they've been here for a while. And early on, Jody was a high school English teacher, and she also did theater and coached volleyball. And then she gave that up to stay at home full time with her kids. And then now they've got 5 kids that range from second grade all the way to a college sophomore. And in the past few years, their family's gone through an international adoption, cancer diagnosis, and a cross-country move. So there's been a lot going on with their family of 7. And then 2 summers ago, the McNatts moved back to Georgia after enduring 2 winters in Minnesota, which, you know, is a lot. And then when the time allows, Jody has an awesome blog that I love to read. It's called Even the Sparrow. And you can read in, you know, I'm sure tonight, after tonight, you'll want to catch up on that. So she has that, which is about faith and family and motherhood and just keeping our eyes on Jesus. So we're really excited to have you come speak tonight and come on up.
Okay, I have all this stuff. Thank you, Tally, for that introduction. Okay, got a lot of my glasses, the clicker. We've got it all going on. Well, I have to tell you, when Tally called me and asked me to come speak tonight to y'all, I was so excited for about 5 minutes, because that's usually what it takes me to all of a sudden say yes to something and then to wonder what in the world I just did, okay? Like, I mean, you know, anybody else there, you say yes and then you're like, oh, what did I just get myself into? I mean, kicking it off, that sounds fun, but it also sounded like a little pressure all of a sudden. I almost called Tally back and said, you know, I love moms and I love to connect, but I'm just not sure I can swing the kickoff thing. So maybe just put me in like a more nondescript month like November or March, and you didn't know all that happened after you called me. It really did. But anybody else ever say yes to something and then you kind of wonder like, oh, I don't know if I've got what it takes to do that thing, you know? Ladies, it's September, y'all, right? September, what is September? But the most famous month for saying yes to things, right? We sign up in September. It's, you know, back to school time, and in our classrooms, in our communities, in our churches, we go ahead and we say yes. Any room moms out there? Okay, Lori Ann, come on up. I've got a little something for Lori Ann. Somebody gave this to me many years ago. It's a little koozie. You can put your beverage of choice. I suggest a Red Bull if you're a room mom. But it says, stop me before I volunteer again. It's got chocolate and a little coffee card. That's a cup of coffee on me. Okay. Anybody else signing up for things right now, right? We just do it. We women, we are wired to sign up. We are wired to say yes. If our children attend Perimeter School, we might be required. But we do. We just kind of go out there. My husband does not get this, okay? He does not understand this wiring, how we're like, yes, yes, choose me. I can do that. And then like slowly but surely we wonder however we're going to get that done. Like it just doesn't make sense. Now, I realize, you know, tonight we're talking, and this is the direction we're going is, you know, what did we say yes to? Not in our churches and communities and classrooms, but what did we, what what did we say yes to when we said yes to motherhood? And it might be a little late in the game to ask that question, right? I mean, I'm looking at you and I'm going, if they're here and they're at a Moms Connect event, chances are they've signed on the dotted line, they've drank the Kool-Aid, you know, there's no going back, right? We're in it, girls. And some of us are quite a ways into it. Some of you I'm looking at, I'm going, okay, you just graduated from high school. You're darling. A little intimidating for a mom up here, you know, in her late 40s. And some of us are, you know, like me, a little bit less fresh off the turnip truck. We've been around the block a little bit, right? These veteran moms, I love that you guys do that. That makes so much sense, just to mix all the stages and ages. But as the lady said, or as Tally said, my husband and I have been married 25 years. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated that. It was really fun. Actually, it really wasn't fun. I was really proud of getting to that place, and we had big plans, but some things fell through, and I ended up that week having a bladder infection and a bad case of hives. All right, that's just not how you really picture your 25th wedding anniversary, I have to tell you. But Rick and I, we are happy to be married 25 years, and we have five kids, as they pointed out, and they do range from, you know, college sophomore. Emily's over at Samford. We have two here, Johns Creek High School, and then we have a seventh grader in junior high and an elementary age daughter, Bella, who's in second grade. So we pretty much cover all academic levels. That wasn't necessarily my plan, but it's how it worked out. Speaking of Bella, I need somebody to volunteer. Seriously, volunteer to remind me when this is over. Okay, Lorianne's going to do this. It says Tommy. Okay, Lorianne can't do this. Anybody else want to do this? I need someone to tell me. She lost her tooth before I left tonight. And in the rush of everything, I just know I don't have a great track record with tooth fairy stuff. Okay? Like, I have totally, like, missed it multiple times and done the whole scramble, like, yeah, sure, it's there, you know, and, like, you know, hid the tooth and put some money and run around. We've done it every which way. So somebody who's going to be my volunteer, okay, Tally, yeah, you owe me one, girl. So Tally is going to volunteer. Okay, here's my family. That's obviously my husband, the kids, and our dogs, Minnie and Cooper. Okay, so, you know, even though you would think, okay, she's been married 25 years, she's got almost two decades of parenting under her belt, surely she's figured something out about motherhood, right? I mean, 20 years, you really should have figured something out, even if you're a slow learner. There should be some lesson. But I have to tell you, ladies, even though, you know, I've worn my share of mom jeans. I have schlepped video and camera equipment all over creation. I have wiped fingers and faces and noses and bottoms and countertops, you know, and made a gazillion lunches. There are just days when I still doubt myself as a mom, where I still don't wonder if I didn't just bite off more than I could chew, more than I'm capable of. When we started our parent journey about 20 years ago, we went from 0 to 60. I mean, we had seven kids in 4 years. Well, wait a second. We had four kids in 7 years. I'd be dead otherwise. It just felt like, you know, seven kids in 4 years. Okay. We had four kids in 7 years. I mean, it seemed like every stinking time I turned around, I was heading to the delivery room. Polly Pope, do you get this? Yeah, you were late with me, right? Okay. I won't pick on you too much tonight. But, you know, there we were. It was just a time where it was very blurry. I don't remember much about those years. I really don't. But I do remember nap time was everything. Nap time was everything. Even if they didn't think they needed a nap, I needed them to nap. Heck, I needed to nap, right? I mean, I would love to tell you that it was because I was going to have a, you know, really in-depth Bible study or a really deep, you know, quiet time with the Lord, but I just needed 5 minutes alone. I just needed to pee without an audience. I needed to shower without company. I needed to maybe answer some emails without a body or a baby attached to mine. And I can even remember a few times wanting to just finish that last piece of chocolate cake uninterrupted. You know what I mean? I mean, I didn't really get that when I was saying yes to motherhood, I was saying yes to sharing my food. I didn't really understand that. Does anybody else struggle with the fact that you just want to eat that thing, but you've got to divide it five ways, right? It was really hard for me. I mean, speaking of sharing, we're going to come back to that, but even my outfit tonight, I had to go to Birmingham to get these from my daughter in college. Okay, she took my shoes. My good friend Merritt Sims drove to Birmingham, not really just for my shoes, but she brought them back for me all the way from Birmingham. And then this shirt I'd gotten, I hadn't even worn it yet, and my high school daughter borrowed it, you know, and took it. And I went to try it on yesterday, because you always try your clothes on before you get up in front of women and speak. And I went to try it on, and it had stains on it. So I'm spot cleaning my shirt. I'm getting my shoes from Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, also that I'm not half naked in front of you tonight. It's just what happens with this mother thing. We share, you know, and we call it sacrifice. But really, it's hard for us. And it doesn't come naturally, at least not to me. So the whole food issue, you know, that was a big deal for me. When they were little, I used to go into the pantry and grab my bag of Doritos or sleeve of Oreos. And the laundry room was conveniently located right off the pantry. So I'd go into the laundry room, shut the door, slide down the wall into a pile of dirty clothes, and consume. You know, and I had about 3 minutes for consumption. But I basically was hiding from my children, okay? I mean, in essence, that's what I was doing. Anybody else hide from your children? Go ahead, raise your hands. You could be like an occasional hider, or you could be a chronic hider. I'm a chronic hider, okay? I do it. And I'm not proud of it. I'm not saying it's pretty or healthy, especially eating those Doritos or Oreos in the laundry room on dirty laundry. That's kind of awful, but I did it. So I'm writing this a couple of weeks ago, and I had to laugh. My friend Misty on Facebook, she posted this. Is it wrong that I'm hiding in the garage right now? The kids and the dog are all inside, and there's a lot going on. A lot going on. I'm out here, and there ain't nothing going on. Bliss. Okay? I just died when I read. I literally was kind of working on this talk. I thought, that is so perfect. And I love the whole, there's a lot going on. Because we can just interpret that so many ways, can't we? It's beautiful. And then a few days later, Jen Hatmaker, who we all know and love, all right, forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned, because when I sat down in my room for one hot minute and my daughter kept calling my name, I hid in the closet and crouched down. I did this, Lord, you saw it. Please, she's not hilarious. Please forgive this trespass as I forgive those who trespass against me by saying my name too many times. Ask for dad for once. All right. Amen. I am telling you, I just had to laugh when I saw that. Okay, so what I want to know, we're gonna take little breaks in my talk tonight. I'm not gonna just keep droning on and on, but we're gonna break it up with some questions. So around your table, as you're chit-chatting, getting to know each other, I want you to talk. And our first question, which I'll put it up here to help you remember, because you're moms and we forget things. Have you ever hid from your children? I want you to share if you have, and you can tell a little story. I'm just going to give you a couple minutes, so no pressure if you don't want to talk, okay? So I should have, like, some music playing. Do we have music we can play? But go, okay? Have you hid from your children? Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, ladies, okay, hopefully you heard some good stories sitting around and talking about hiding from our children. I know we have mixed feelings about that, but I think we just have to go with the humor in it and the necessity of it. I had a mom recently ask me, like, how do you do the five-kid thing? And I really feel like I didn't answer her this. I think I gave her a really wise spiritual answer, you know. But I want to say I'm a chronic hider. It saves my sanity sometimes. I think I heard Carol Pope tell the funniest story. Where are you, Carol? Okay. But back there, Carol tells the funniest story. I heard this 18 years ago, Carol, when you talked about locking yourself in the bathroom and, like, telling the kids, trust me, you're safer with mommy locked in here. Like, it's an awesome, that has stuck with me. Okay, that has shaped me, Carol Pope. I just want you to know. All right, so it was that same spring after the fourth baby was born. That blurry, blurry spring. But I remember Mother's Day that year. I was sitting on the couch nursing, and I can say that because I was always sitting on the couch nursing that spring. Okay, so just we'll go with that. And the five-year-old crawled up next to me. Now, I wasn't nursing the five-year-old. I don't want to start that rumor. That's how things do happen. But he came up next to me, my son Tyler, and slipped this little card across the couch at me. It was on his Mother's Day card that he'd been working on, I knew, that week. And when I opened that card up, it said, "You are the best mom in the whole world." He was 5. Now, I'm going to tell you 2 things about that. Number one, he did not write that sentence by himself. So do not freak out and go home and be like, "Oh, I got to work on all this stuff." All right? No, somebody helped him, I'm sure. But I read that card, and I don't know if it was the hormones or the postpartum or the exhaustion or the fact that my breasts were hanging out in the family room, but I began to cry. I began to cry because, ladies, I knew that wasn't true. I read those words, and I just knew deep down inside that spring I had been feeling like a failure. I had been feeling like I was faking it through motherhood. And I was so greatly afraid that little boy that I was nursing and that little boy with that card and my girls were going to find out otherwise. I was so afraid that they would know that wasn't the case, you know? That little boy who's 5 that made me that card, he's turning 18 this weekend. He's a senior in high school. He'll be gone next year to college. Okay, we're not going to I'll start crying again, but, you know, they grow up and they do find out what we fail at and what we are best at or what we strive for. They do. You know, we can't hide as much as they get older. That's a hard thing, and that's a beautiful thing. We're going to talk about that. But maybe you 2 girls have had, you know, that same day of doubt. You've said this resounding yes to motherhood, right? I'm all in. And yet you have those residual doubts and fears and struggles. And if that is your struggle, then tonight I want to talk about 3 questions. And they're for us. They're for you. They're for me just as much. This is really my heart right now too tonight. But those 3 questions are this. What do I expect? What did I envision? And am I enough? Okay, and we can look at those 3 questions with 2 different lenses. We can look through the lens of the world's fairy tale that says everything, like Kelly was up here saying, it's all going to be perfect and it all should look perfect and it's all a fairy tale. Or we can look at it through the lens of faith, all right? And that's God's truth and his word and what we claim there in his power. So we're going to do that. The first one is, what do I expect? And the world fairy tale says saying yes to this mom thing means I will always measure up, manage well, and meet all expectations, mostly my own. Anybody exhausted just reading that, right? But somehow that's the message that we get. And we women, we come into motherhood and into marriage with some pretty high expectations. It's just the little suitcase we bring along with us when we say yes. When we say yes to that engagement, when we say yes to that starting of our family. And we have this really crazy way of measuring ourselves, don't we? I mean, I've been around mommy groups long enough to know we measure ourselves in really, really strange, crazy ways. Like, I'm going to be the best mom in the whole wide world when I match up all the missing socks in my laundry room, when I get all my Christmas shopping done 4 months in advance. It's all gonna come together. Well, you know, Christmas shopping, seriously, 4 months in advance? I don't think so, ladies. I had to recently, just kind of a little confession here, unfriend somebody on Facebook. Don't worry, you don't know her. It's not gossiping. But I had to unfollow her because the last 2 years, October 1st, she has posted around this time that she's gotten all of her Christmas shopping done and it's all wrapped. And I'm sorry, but I am far too fragile a female to handle that pressure. So as we turn the month to September, I just simply unfollowed her. It was very gentle and kind, I assure you. But we think this way. We think that if we can just get all of the Tupperware arranged. I mean, anyone get crazy over things like Tupperware? And I have to tell you, Tupperware is not meant to match up. It's not intended to fit together. I think we would be doing our families a disservice if we had every lid and every container matching. I think there's life lessons to be had for our children and even our husband if they have to struggle with the Tupperware. But still, we think about these things. We think if we can just pull it all together, if we can just find that magic recipe that makes everybody in the family happy isn't possible, you know? And sometimes they're like really crazy things like that. Sometimes they're simple things. I can remember one time with my husband just saying something. He's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I just want to make it through a meal without a meltdown. All right, that's not a hard thing. But sometimes it's an impossible thing, right? Depending on the ages and stages of your kids. And then sometimes we come into it with crazy, crazy, unrealistic expectations. Like we're just, something's gone wrong in our mommy brain. And this happened to me about a year and a half ago. It was May. We were still living in Minnesota, right? Enough said right then and there. We had finally thawed out, and I realized that I needed to get both of our dogs into the vet. They were both due. Actually, they were both overdue. And so I thought, I'm going to save some time. It's busy month of May, and I'm going to just expedite the whole thing, manage my time well, and take them both together. But what I need to tell you is our oldest dog, Cooper, who was 11, he had a thyroid condition, which caused him to be obesely overweight. He was about 155 pounds, biggest golden retriever two vets told me that I'd ever seen. And he had an anxiety disorder. So when he left the house, he kind of sounded like, I could go on and on, I won't. But okay, so this is Cooper. And then Minnie, our puppy, was also close to 150 pounds because she's a Newfoundland. And so I have basically 300 pounds of dog that I'm going to transport in one trip to the vet. And I decide to throw the cat in to save more time. So we've got 300 pounds of dog and the cat in the carrier. And to make it all complete, I invite my youngest two children to accompany me because we know the youngest two are especially helpful. So we get in the car somehow. I can't believe we got it out of the driveway. But we get down the driveway. We get to the vet's office. We get out. At this point, I'm covered in drool, Newfoundland's drool. Oh, I have to show you a picture of these dogs. That's Cooper and Minnie, and then my little Bella in between. Okay, and their backsides are hiding. If you really, I really should have, I don't have a picture of their backsides, but they're massive. All right, so we get to the vet's office, covered in drool and slobber. I'm already sweating and exhausted. We march in. I'm dragging the big older dog, and Connor's dragging and trying to control the wild puppy, and Minnie, or Bella's pulling in the cat carrier. You see us coming, right? And we have this little happy parade of animals and tired mom. And we finally plop down in these seats. And you know, I'm literally like wiping the sweat from my face when I look up and there's this woman kind of perched at the counter checking out. And I have to tell you, she was like the most put together woman I've ever seen. Like I think she was wearing champagne pants silk or whatever with heels and lipstick, and next to her was this statuesque, pristine, petite golden retriever, okay? And she's kind of looking at me as I'm looking at her, wiping the sweat and the drool from my face, and I'm like, and she proceeds to say, now, what kind of dog is that? And I'm like, oh, it's a Newfoundland. They're like really popular in Newfoundland. They're big, you know. And then she goes, no, the other one. I'm like, oh, the golden retriever? Like your golden retriever? I wanted to step on her foot. You know, it's like, it's clearly a golden retriever. And she, oh, I see it in the face. Mm-hmm. She was pulling one of those on me. And so I was, you know, doing my best. And then she proceeds to tell me that her beautiful, golden, pristine, statuesque dog was the state champion, right? Still wanted to step on her foot. I was just having a hard time. And then at this moment is when Bella starts tugging on my arm and says, Mommy, 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 something smells. I'm like, what in the world? And I look down, and the cat has released his urine because of all the anxiety and chaos. I don't blame him. I about released my urine in this moment. So then we've got cat urine, which stinks, and all this. You know, girls, this is just how it goes sometimes, right? We set ourselves up. We think, I can do this. I can put 300 pounds of dog in my car and successfully manage the veterinarian. And we find out that that's just not the case. We find out that we just don't quite have what it takes. When I was right out of college, I worked for a very short while in marketing, and we had this phrase. It says, manage expectations. Seek to prevent disappointment by establishing in advance what can realistically be achieved or delivered by a project undertaking or course of action. And we don't do that well as moms, do we? I'm not, you know, I don't mean that to be so negative. It's not like, you know, don't set your kids up for disappointment. But we do have to be realistic with ourselves. We tend to go down this road and think, if I can just do more, if I can just figure out how to create more margin, more time, more patience, more ready-to-go meals in my freezer, I'm going to be finally at that point of more motherhood. I'm going to finally be worthy of that title, best mom in the whole world. I'm going to be at that place where we kind of have this ideal or this perfect mom. I'm reading a book right now I wanted to just bring up to your attention. It's called Grace for the Good Girl. It's by Emily Freeman, and she describes that perfect woman and her pursuit of her in this book. It's just excellent. I would highly recommend it. Here's what she says. My idea of who I should be is at war with who I am. I want to be perfect in every situation. I just do. I want to know what to do. I want to know how to do it right. And I want to do it all by my big self. Not only do I want to do everything perfectly, I want to look perfect while I do it. I want to act perfect and sing perfect and have perfect teeth. I want to parent perfectly, to wife perfectly, and to have a clean house all the time. And even if we have slid into motherhood thinking that, you know, I'm go with the flow, easygoing, laid back. I don't need all of those things. There's something in our wiring, ladies, that sometimes just craves a little bit of that, you know, that just kind of takes us in that direction. And yet that's not how God intended motherhood. He didn't intend it as this like final place of destination or this final arrival of everything merging and coming together perfectly. He never gave us that promise, you know. He tells us in the Bible that we are works in progress. He says in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Carried on to completion. What does that mean? It's not when the child can figure out how to cut their own meat or dress themselves or graduate from high school or walk down the wedding aisle. This motherhood thing, it's ongoing. When does it end? The day Christ Jesus returns, the very last day of our breath. We are changing and growing as mothers. And we think about so much of the growth in our home being about our kids, right? And so often we just have to remember it's as much as about us. I mean, God intends us to grow and improve and evolve as his daughters raising these precious children, right? Okay, question number two I have for you to talk amongst yourselves. What are some of the expectations that you've come into motherhood with? Okay, what have you brought into to motherhood kind of expecting, whether it's a small thing or a larger thing? So go ahead and talk for just a few minutes. I'll cut you off. Music's playing. Am I okay? Okay, good. Good, good, good. So expectations. Anybody want to share just one thing that your table talked about? Come on, volunteer. I just might have another prize. I'm not promising anything. I want to manage your expectations, but maybe. Anybody have anything? That's good. Okay, yes, Laura.
I just said that one of the things, I expected there to be a lot of fun and teachable moments. there's a lot of mundane that just requires a lot of faithfulness and prayer and hiding.
Okay, I love that. That is awesome. The mundane and just the ordinary and the stuff that, I agree, I did not. See, I do have another little something. I did not expect that either. I definitely looked at motherhood and thought, you know, I thought I had more control over the excitement and the fun and the crafts and the creative. We're going to talk about that tonight as well. Okay, well, our expectations can set us up for how we envision it's going to be, right? We envision that it will look a certain way. And we women especially, we are just so visually created, right? We tend to have these dreams. We tend to have these pictures of how things will look, whether we're planning a birthday party or we're planning a wedding or we're planning the rest of our lives. We have a plan. And we tend to go down that road called envision. And the fairy tale says, saying yes to this mom thing means that I am called to provide and portray a picture-perfect life, that I have this vision that it's all going to look like this, and it's all going to go according to my plan. Let me read you the story of how one girl envisioned things. I think I can do this without glasses. Once upon a time, like a long, long time ago, in a land far, far away, Ohio, there lived a young girl, a girl with perfect princess dreams. She grew up in her parents' castle, or 70 split level, imagining herself someday as queen of her own. And like any girl, she imagined herself as a mother, a matriarch, a domestic goddess. She envisioned a life where everything around her was fraught with beauty. Everything she touched turned quickly to gold. Her children always obeyed, were clean, well-mannered, quick to read, good at sports, excellent eaters, willingly played outdoors for hours, and above all, were exceedingly grateful. Her castle, spotless. Her husband, charming. Her carriage or minivan, impeccable. Her schedule color-coded and her inbox emptied. And her meals, nutritious and prepared well in advance. Everything she encountered was easy and gracious and good. Life was perfect. Life was a fairy tale. Yeah, I mean, we do this. We think it's going to look like this, and we are not only will it, but we should facilitate it as moms. Like, there's this pressure. Now, we hear that, right? We're real moms. Whether we've been moms 2 months or 20 years, we know that that's ridiculous. What I just read is ridiculous. That's not how it goes down, right? But anyone else have those thoughts growing up? You know, I think the roots to our motherhood sometimes do start way back in our childhood, don't they? Like, have you ever watched little girls playing? I have this little girl, Bella, who's 7, and she loves to have friends over, and they play house, and they play dress up. And guess who she always wants to be? The mama. And guess what she always is? Really good at it, right? Because she's scripting it. She's preparing it. She knows just how it's going to go down. And it goes down the way she wants it to. You know, I remember being pregnant when we got the news that we were expecting our firstborn. And all that time, I mean, think for a second, when you found out you were going to be a mom. You know, maybe that's where your mom's story began. And when that pregnancy test read positive, right, and you started to dream and think it up. I mean, we were pregnant with Emily. I think I was pregnant a week, and I had already designed her nursery. I had everything just so, you know. I mean, I'm sure I wasn't even showing, and I just went Beatrix Potter gone wild, you know. It was just a lovely, lovely place, and I would sit in that nursery for all those months of waiting. And I would just rock and rock and rock and dream and conjure up all this mystery of what motherhood would be like. And I, even with my massive belly and my morning sickness, I never felt so spiritual and serene in my parenting, you know. I never felt so calm. I was such a capable mother before she arrived, you know. I never went through, you know, this is all before 2 a.m. feedings and diaper changes and all of those kind of things, but it seemed like it was all just going so well. And so I was going with that. I just figured, you know, I thought as a young child, even growing up, that I had some, you know, some control over that vision. I blame that on watching too much 70s television. I grew up watching the Brady Bunch, and I just figured that if you were a woman who got a husband in a large family, you also got an Alice. And I don't know about your homes, but it doesn't work that way in mine. We weren't allowed to watch a lot of stuff. My parents were pretty strict, but we were allowed to watch Little House on the Prairie. And so, I mean, I could pretty much dialogue any show with you right now. Like, just go ahead and name it, and I know it. I was like a guru over Little House on the Prairie. And we would act that out. And all the other girls wanted to be Laura or Mary or baby Carrie, but I wanted to be Ma. Like, did anyone else watch Caroline Ingalls and just be like, oh my goodness, like she was just a goddess to me. I just was amazed at how unflappable and unruffled in her bun and her, you know, bonnet and her beautiful pinafore. Like, I've come this close to making my children dress like that and calling me Ma. You know, it's clearly. I also had this little obsession with Julie Andrews and The Sound of Music. It only came on once or twice a year, but I would always get my bowl of popcorn and I would sit down and I would just marvel at that woman and how she could wrangle up seven of these Von Trapp children and have them singing in harmony from hillsides and swinging from trees and matching clothing. I mean, albeit it was curtains, but you know, it was just, I would look at these things. I would look and I would start to dream and I would start to plan. Even as a teenager, as a strange teenager, but I would look at my mom's Better Homes and Gardens magazines, and I would just, you know, be in awe. We didn't have Southern Living in Ohio, okay? I know. Go ahead, feel bad for me. I learned how to frost a cake and set a table, despite the fact that I didn't have Southern Living growing up. But, you know, I would look at these Better Homes and Gardens magazines, and I would just see all these beautiful magazine layouts and think, this is what I want. This is how it's going to be, this is how it's going to go down when I'm in charge. You know, uncluttered coffee tables, sparkling kitchens, right? Unsullied rugs, unblemished walls. Is anyone feeling that? Like, and yet that is not how it goes down. That is not what we are called to. I would dream that way, but then God gave me real, honest-to-goodness children with dirty fingers and dirty faces and dirty feet. You know, when we said yes to motherhood, we said yes to a way that we were, in some ways, imagining it would play out, how it would taste and smell and feel, and most of all, look. And can I just say, oh wait, I forgot a part. Okay, the fairy tale. While I was growing up, I got married in the wake of the royal wedding. I was really going to cover this. I can't believe I skipped ahead. If you have any doubt that I was impacted by Lady Di's marriage, I just needed to show you my sleeves. Okay, just the sleeves alone. I felt like I outdid her, okay? I just want you to know. There's a lot of pride in that dress. Okay, I mean, yeah, it's really crazy. But this is what I was going to say to you. This doesn't help us, right? All right, who has a Pinterest? Look at you're like... All right, I see the way you're raising your hands. This does not help things. We didn't have that growing up, or, you know, when I was planning a wedding or when I was a new mom. I really need to stop and just thank Jesus for that daily, that was not around, because the pressure, right? The pressure of this Pinterest thing. I'm sure we're going to find out that this is some evil sign somewhere, you know, just I have a feeling. But we had other things. We had Family Fun magazine. Does anybody remember Family Fun? I just want to see who's old here. Raise your hand. Family Fun magazine. And I would thumb through that, and I would cut out these craft projects and these recipes, and I would look at this stuff with my preschoolers around me, and I would think, certainly I can do this. We can do this. We can create some or duplicate some dumb frog cupcakes with gumball eyes and a fruit roll-up tongue. I carried a triple major in college. I birthed a bunch of babies. I can do this. And, you know, girls, sometimes we can. Sometimes we can have a little Pinterest success and whatever. But that's really not it. It's not our average, normal everydays, right? We tend to probably have more mistakes. Somebody was just asking me before we started. I think Nicole and I were talking about projects that we were doing around the house. Lorianne, we were talking, and Lisa Ann. Like, there's so many more mistakes, right, than there are successes. And that's really part of our motherhood. We learn from what it is we struggle with. The stuff that comes easily or goes real smoothly, you know, just embrace it and thank the Lord for it and move on. But our learning moments for us as moms and for our kids come in the struggle. Surely they do. I got off track there for a second. Okay, so I want you to talk about Pinterest for a second. Does anybody have, talking around your tables, a specific story of something going wrong, like a Pinterest failure? Okay, just see if you do. I'll only give you a minute so you can talk about that. And if you don't have that, then share a success so that somebody sitting next to you can learn a little secret of something that went right for you. Okay, so go ahead, go. Your turn. Okay. Did you get some good stories or some helpful hints? I'm going to give you both right now. Here's my most recent success story. Merritt, did I tell you this? Do you know what I'm... All right, so I saw this on Pinterest about a week and a half ago. This is a pumice stone. And we have in our main level, like the guest bathroom that guests that come to our home would use, the half bath, has had this ring in the toilet. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? This ring in the toilet that isn't dirt. It's not, I can't clean it. It's not, we don't have hard water. I don't know. It's just a ring. It's like a little stain. It was very small, but it was big enough to bother me, right? And my husband's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody cares. I'm like, I care. Every time I scrub that toilet, I can't get that ring off. Like, you feel my pain, right? So I saw this. I just happened upon it. I wasn't even searching for how to remove the ring from your toilet. But if you take a pumice stone, okay, look at your eyes are getting bigger. Okay, seriously, this is like the best takeaway you're going to get tonight, right? Take a pumice stone and you can just keep working. I mean, it takes a lot of elbow grease. Don't give up. It's not for the faint-hearted. And you do have to stick your hand in your family's toilet, okay? I will not do that for anybody else, but I will do that for my own family. And this was a different pumice. I just want you to tell. I threw that one away. This is another one, okay? I promise you. But you can scrub that ring on your toilet and it will come off. Okay, I know you are all coming tonight to hear that. All right, that's a success story. I have a funny story that my good friend Kathy Vaughn tells that I just have to share with y'all. I don't know if you know Kathy Vaughn. She's a member here at Perimeter. She has three boys who are all grown now, but when they were little guys, and she was in that seat of, you know, just trying to figure out every year what to do for Christmas as it was coming. One fall, her youngest, Jesse, came home from preschool, and he had drawn a family portrait at preschool. And Kathy took one look at that portrait, and apparently just one look, and she decided she was going to ship that out to one of those companies that, you know, replicates it onto pot holders and coffee mugs and T-shirts and pillowcases. So she did just that, and she was feeling all, you know, she was pre-Pinterest, but she was feeling Pinteresty and all, like, on top of it. She had this great Christmas idea coming in, and it arrived, and she just wrapped up those gifts, and the grandparents came on Christmas, and they gathered around, and her mother opened up her gift, which was, I think, the pillowcase, and she says, oh, Kathy, look at this. This is sweet. There's Jesse and Jordan and Jackson and, oh, and George. And she began to stammer and blush and shield her eyes. And what Kathy had failed to notice was that Jesse had drawn his daddy anatomically correct. And when it was enlarged on the pillowcase, there was George on his mother-in-law's pillowcase, you know, hanging out for the whole wide world. And, you know, I just love that story because sometimes we have these great intentions and we think, man, we have figured it out. We've got this coup, you know, we're feeling pretty good about it. But then, you know, we're just left hanging out, exposed and vulnerable, right? You know, girls, I think that sometimes we can have that fairy tale moment and we can have that Pinterest success. But I just think we have to be so careful that we don't use it to measure ourselves or our worth or our credibility by. It's easy to do. We're talking here at this table, you know, just the comparison that we have. We're, you know, women, we have to so battle against that in such a specific way because we are visual and because we do care how things look and appear. And I have to say, I think it's getting harder. I think it's hard for all of us, but I think for our children and our grandchildren, and I think for the children, you know, I'm looking at my kids right now, and I can just see this is becoming even bigger with social media, right? I mean, Instagram and Facebook, we know that mothers have been struggling since the beginning of time. Like, you go back in the Bible, and I'm telling you, you know, if Mary had a Facebook, right? I mean, think about what she would have put, you know, when she misplaces Jesus at the temple. You know, what's her Facebook post going to read? Hey, y'all, will you pray for me? I seem to have lost the Son of God. You know, I mean, those things. Eve, the first mother, the mother of all mothers, you know, she wasn't only just banned from the garden and wearing the fashion of fig leaves, but she had these two boys who couldn't get along. Right, how do you manage that on Instagram or Facebook when one son slays the other son? I mean, it's messy stuff. It's not easy. I watch my kids, and now I have three, almost four of them teenagers, and just the pressure to not just, you know, have the moment and do life, but how we're going to portray life, how we're going to post about it. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I feel that too. You know, I'm a person who blogs and writes and puts things on Facebook and shares. And so I'd be a hypocrite if I said I didn't care. I edit my pictures all the time, and I'm always, you know, looking at that kind of stuff. And I enjoy it, but I have to be so careful to keep that in check and to know, you know, what's the motivation behind it. And it's great to have a gift and a passion and to do things that God has wired us to do, but we have to be so careful in that comparison. Just a couple weeks ago, it was my husband's birthday, and I was sitting on the couch. I'd just taken a picture of him and the kids and the cake, and I was going to post it on Instagram and just say, like, happy birthday, honey. And I have my two daughters on either shoulder looking over my shoulder saying, Mom, don't use that filter. Mom, lighten that, darken that. Don't use that caption, you know? And I'm like, I just wanted to say happy birthday, honey. It happens. You know, I think the Christmas card photo is a big one. I heard that at a couple of tables. The Christmas card photo shoot. Does that phrase strike fear in anybody here tonight? Like, do you begin to sweat? Ladies, it's September. All right, you only have how many days to get this done? Okay, I want you to be honest, because I know you're not going to be, but tell me. Who has thought about it? Who has maybe even planned an outfit? Okay, Nicole. Come on, I know some of you have. I want to keep going. I stalk Polly Pope. So Polly was on Instagram. I have to come out here to read this, but I just love this. She was on vacation last week. Okay, I'm sorry, Polly. Is this okay that I'm sharing it? Okay, I was going to ask your permission. No, I wasn't. But she said, Christmas pic. This is like last week, all right? Christmas pic, take one, nailed it. IG, Instagram, I had to think about that for a minute. IG overload, I'm done for today, okay? I mean, and like, you got to love it because they are all kind of everywhere, right? Is there a story behind that?
Oh, we had like 200 of those pictures and we didn't get one.
Okay, but I love that. That is so fun. I'm going to show you my Christmas picture just to be real. This was last year. We went with this, okay? I don't know if y'all know Katie Davidson. She came to do our photography. We're her worst nightmare. There's seven of us. There's 14 eyes, and we never go in the right direction. We're all over the place. The dog wouldn't cooperate. So finally, that's what I chose, right there. That was the Merry Christmas 2015 from the McNats. You know, I mean, it's what it is. Right? And I say, when we get the beautiful moment, capture it, embrace it, there's nothing wrong with that. Share it. It's okay. Sometimes you're going to have those, and they're good stuff. And I love it. And I love seeing the good stuff. But keep it real. Keep that vision in check. Right? And keep yourself reminded that motherhood just tends to be a lot more messy than magical. You're going to have a magical moment. I had the coolest moment last night. I'm going to cry if I tell you about it, but I was getting ready in my bathroom for bed. I wrote this today on Facebook. I posted it. And it's because it's a good moment. It was one of those unexpected. I was, you know, brushing my teeth, changing my pajamas late at night, and and all of a sudden I heard my son, whose bedroom is below our bathroom. Music just came crashing up at my room. I could just hear this music being blasted from his basement bedroom. And I was about ready to just march down. This is like almost 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, tell him, turn down the volume. This is my teenage son. And then I stopped for a second and I listened to what he was playing. And it was David Crowder's Oh, How He Loves Me song. And, you know, I sat on the sink and I just kind of got teary-eyed and thought, what a gift that was at the end of a very busy, stressed-out day we had yesterday to just hear my teenage son. Yeah, he's blasting music too loud on a school night at 11 o'clock, but it's, oh, how he loves me, you know? And I just heard that and thought, you know, this boy's going to turn 18 on Sunday, and there's nothing I could wish for more than that my son knows that his Savior loves him like that and that he can blast that music. So I say, you know, those moments come and we embrace them. You know, we can choose to post or not post. That's okay. That doesn't make it anything other than what it is. But embrace them when they come. But keep in mind that even though life looks a little bit less perfect than maybe we imagined it on most days, we have been created by a perfect Savior in his image. And that's the verse I want to give to you here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Mothers, mama, woman, you are God's workmanship. Some versions say masterpiece, priceless, loved, right? Valued, valuable. And I love the linking verb in here. Who can find the linking verb? I was an English teacher. This is important stuff to me. Linking verb. Anyone want to take a stab at it? I might have a, yes. R. Oh, you are so smart. You get a gift. Wait, I've got to give you that gift. Okay. This is so fun. And you're how old? 12. You're my son's age. I'm going to tell him. You knew the linking verb. R. What? Why is it linking verb R so important? Because it's not we were, it's not we will be, it's we are. We are God's masterpiece. Right now, whatever the mess, whatever the mistakes, we are. Okay, it's called what tense? Present. Thank you. Okay, such important stuff. But you know, ladies, our expectations and the way we envision things so often lead us to this third question we're going to ask tonight. And it's one that I know pretty much can guarantee most every woman in this room has asked themselves. Am I enough? Am I enough? The fairy tale says this, saying yes to this mom thing means that if I try hard enough, I will always be enough. I am a try hard kind of girl. You know, I think Tally described me as a DIY type, and that's a part of it, whatever. But I'm just, in my essence, so much of my motherhood has always been about what I can do, my determination, my effort. If I can just fight through it, if I can just, you know, just get to that level and push myself. I've thought for years if I could just, you know, stay up a little bit later, organize a little bit better, work a little bit harder, walk a little bit faster, that I'd be closer to being a little bit more than I am right now. I'd be closer to that word, enough. Enough. Emily Freeman, in this book that I do want to keep recommending to you, she describes it as this. She says, I wanted God, let me get this right, I wanted God, but I lived my life like I didn't need him. Does that resonate with you? I wanted God, but I lived my life like I didn't need him. And that's so easy to do as moms because we're doers. We have to be doers. None of us can just sit back and be like, yeah, we'll just let God do it. You know, I mean, yeah, in essence, yes, I believe that very much so. But the laundry needs to be done. The dishes need to be attended to. Somebody needs to cook in our house occasionally, you know. And so we tend to just overdo. It's so easy to be doers. And it's so easy because we also have this way of thinking how it's supposed to be done. You know, that little girl that I read to you in the fairy tale, you know, she just didn't expect life to go down like it does some days. I don't know about your home, but mine gets a little crazy and chaotic. And I sometimes look at it and think, ooh, this was just not in the plan. I didn't imagine the mama feeling quite so tired every night. You know, I didn't imagine her with adult acne or an occasional chin hair. Like, that just wasn't part of my deal. All right. I didn't imagine her running carpool in her pajamas more times than not, or her family contracting lice 6 times separately in 1 school year. Like, that could have happened. All right, it wasn't our fault. I never imagined her leaving her first grade son at church after the Christmas Eve service and not knowing he was missing until the security officer called them at home. Okay? We don't dream this stuff up, ladies, when we're sitting in our firstborn's nursery rocking in the gliding rocker, right? We don't ever think this way. We don't ever think that we're going to feel these days of being stretched so thin. And yet that is like sort of the phrase in my life right now is with, you know, having a daughter in college and kids in high school and then having a second grader. I can't always get the hat straight, you know, like, what are we attending to? Oh, no, that's totally not your deal. It's this deal. And trying to keep it all straight and just feeling myself being stretched in all of that. Any stretched moments that you might have, all right? Anybody have a moment that they could share at their table or, you know, where you have felt recently not enough, like you didn't quite have enough of you to go around, stretched thin? I'll share one more story with you. I think it was a few years ago, especially during bedtime. Does bedtime make anyone feel that way? Who has a few children under 10? If you have a few children under 10, you kind of get that, okay? I mean, if you have a few children, I don't mean the 10. The 10 really means nothing. But bedtime was hard when we had kids that were all busy, busy, busy. My husband travels most of the time, and I just, you know, would get to that evening where I'd want to put them all down, and I'd have this vision of how bedtime was supposed to look, right? And there were so many of them. It took 17 hours to get them all down where they needed to be in bed. And I would go from room to room, and the littlest one wanted me to read her a story, and the oldest ones wanted to tell me their stories. And I mean, honestly, I remember crawling into my bed more times than not, kind of in tears, feeling like, I am just not able to do this. I fail. I didn't read the story well. I read it like every 7 pages. Does anybody do that? You know, like, oh yeah, we covered that. And she's really sharp on that kind of stuff. She'd be like, no, you didn't. I mean, no, I did. I did. You weren't listening, you know? And then the older ones, and I can't tell you, I've heard the phrase from my older kids say to me things like, Mom, I just wanted to tell you that, or you weren't listening. You know, talk about not feeling enough. Okay, you talk, you share. I have lots of stories. I could go on all night. Share amongst yourselves. Where do you feel stretched thin or not always enough as a mom? Okay? Hopefully that question just allowed you to go a little bit deeper than like the whole Pinterest thing, you know? You know, I don't know what it is, like why we have such a hard time believing that that Jesus is enough for us. We are given this verse, and I think probably most of us have heard it. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. We know it. Like, I gather to imagine most of us have heard that. But do we put our name into that? Do we ever insert ourselves as mom? My grace is sufficient for you, Jody, for my power is made perfect in Jody's weakness. Not in her Wonder Womanness, you know, but in her weakness, that God, his power will show up. So often we forget that it is in our greatest inadequacies and in our greatest sufficiencies that we can most clearly see God. He promises that for us several times in the Bible in so many ways. I don't know why we struggle with that as women. It's maybe part of our wiring, maybe part of our humanity. I have had ample opportunity to learn this lesson. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've been at that place and this verse has been given to me and I've had to trust in it, but I still feel like I go back, you know, time after time again to that. 5 years ago, we started the adoption of our youngest child, Bella, from China. We knew she was coming to us with a congenital heart defect, triple congenital heart defect, pretty sick little girl. But just a couple weeks into her adoption, she went into distress in China and ended up in open heart surgery on the other side of the world. And, you know, as a mom who has struggled with not feeling enough for my children, that was a pretty intense time of knowing that I couldn't be enough for her. I couldn't be anything for her. I wasn't allowed to go to her, wasn't allowed to see her. We could barely get any updates on her. She spent over 30 days in the hospital alone at 18 months recovering from an enormous surgery. And that entire year, I just struggled and you know, Lord, how am I going to handle this? And we don't know anything. And I just felt so insufficient. But I have to tell you, it was in that year where I definitely, as time went on and we prayed through that adoption, that we did just begin to learn this verse and see this verse in our lives and feel very much and hear God's whisper to us that he had her, that he had her. It wasn't up to us and there wasn't anything we could do, but he had her. And so we got her home, you know, a year later, and it was a great homecoming. Bella transitioned beautifully. You know, she just stepped right into that role as our fifth child and very few transitional issues. And I just remember, I can almost remember in those months after bringing her home, like that whole just shift where I had been kind of laid out on God's offer, altar, asking for him to control the situation. But when she came back into our home, or came finally to our home, I started to go back into my typical Jody, you know, try hard mommy self, that I was now in control. Like, thank you, Lord, for your sufficiency then. But now I've got it. Now I'm back in control. I've got all my little ducks under my roof, and I'm feeling pretty good. And I was, you know, I wouldn't have said that, but I could definitely tell you that I was starting to parent back in that same direction of I'm enough, I'm enough. And it's interesting because it was just a few months after Bella came home that I was diagnosed completely out of the blue with breast cancer. So we have just come home from China. We've got, you know, this transition of five kids, and then mom gets a diagnosis of breast cancer. And, you know, I know there was no mistake in that. I know what I learned through all of that, waiting for Bella and then my health being compromised and the fear and the unknown of that was just, again, this lesson coming at me, massaging into me. And not easy, not an easy one, because I can remember, you know, coming home, I think just a couple of weeks after I had a double mastectomy and being that summer out on my deck one night and just so at the end of it, you know, so done. I couldn't do anything for my family. I couldn't cook for them, or, I mean, that was sort of a blessing, but I couldn't do anything, you know. I couldn't take care of them. I couldn't hold my little girl. I couldn't hug my children. I had the mastectomies and reconstruction all in that summer, and it was just a time that I had to be super careful. I kept getting in trouble. My friend Merritt would go with me to my doctor's appointments, and they'd yell at me and be like, you can't do anything. I'm like, I know I can't do anything, and it's hard when you're a doer, when you're a mama, and you can't do anything, and you can't be enough. And so one night I was out on my deck and I just literally cried out to Jesus and I was wrestling with him and I told him, I said, I can't handle this. I don't like this feeling. I am not enough, Lord. I am not enough. And he, not in an audible voice, but he whispered into me that evening, you're right, Jody. You are not enough and you're not supposed to be enough, but I am. I am enough. And, you know, that was just, it was one of those moments I will never forget, just that breakthrough. Not that I don't struggle with it now, all these years later, 4 years later, but I go back when I need to that place on the deck and to that still small voice where he told me that he had it. He had my children and that he had me, you know. And yet, as women, we just so easily go in that direction when we're given a little break in life. When life starts to go a little bit easier, we start to go back in that seat, you know, of being the girl who can handle what she can handle. I mean, I've always wanted to be a mom. There's never been anything in my life that I've wanted more, I've never saw it as a second thing. I always saw it as the highest calling for me, you know, outside of following Christ and being my husband's wife. I wanted to be a mama. You know, I didn't doubt the calling. I just doubt the capability sometimes, right? And yet one other thing that I just keep coming back to, and as I'm parenting kids that are getting older, that I want to make sure I get in here tonight, is that sometimes, ladies, we're called to be less. You know, it's not just being enough. It's not just being more. It's sometimes being less than what we think we need to be. Let me see. This verse, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. We don't think about how that applies to us as moms, do we? We're always trying to make more, get more out of a situation. But what if we just need to be a little less? You know, especially for our children. I think as moms, it's easy to you know, put ourselves in situations to take care of more things and be more to our children. And yet, I think truthfully, if we are trying to be all that and a bag of chips to our children, we might be actually interfering with what God is trying to do and demonstrate in their lives, right? I mean, we're getting in the way occasionally when we come in and want to take over a situation. You know, I don't have to be enough. He is. He's enough for me. He's enough for my kids. And all the activities and the accomplishments and the things that we attempt to do, they're never supposed to rival God's awesomeness. You know, we're never supposed to stand in that position and block our children from seeing his sufficiency. I wrote, we don't need to be more sufficient, but we do need to believe more in the sufficiency of Jesus. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, ladies, I know life doesn't always look exactly as we had pictured it. You know, I know it doesn't always go as we want it. And I know we spend a lot of time trying and striving for it to be something that maybe we have to be careful, you know, in that vision of what did God really intend? What did he really want for us? I want to leave you with one last verse. It's from Hebrews 12:2. It says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, not our fairy tale, girls, but of our faith. All right? If we keep our eyes on him and we allow him to use our struggles and to release that fairy tale a little bit, it's going to be a situation where we are going to choose the faith, where we are going to be on a faith journey. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be better mamas. We are going to be that best mom in the world because that's the mom God gave us to be to our children. Not the perfect mom, not the mom that has it all together, not the mom with all the answers, not the mom with the best Pinterest or Facebook or Instagram, but the mom that God has chosen you to be for your children. And ladies, above all, I think it's the best thing we could have said yes to. Thank you. Let me pray for us real quick. I wanted to close with that and then move on. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity tonight to come and speak to these moms of all ages and stages and seasons, Lord. I love the combination of these girls in this room and just listening to them talk at their tables and the things that they have to share with each other, Father. I pray that there's been connection made this evening, that there's maybe been a little truth taken away, Father. I pray that your name was glorified this evening, Lord, and that we would make that our vision, Father, as we mother and parent and wife in our homes, Lord, that you would be our vision, Father. Be thou our vision. And keep us on the course, Lord, to pursue the things that you would want for our families. Not what the world tells us in a fairy tale format, Father, but that they would be things that would increase our faith, strengthen our children, grow them up in their own faith. And Father, above all, that we would just rest in the sufficiency of you and what you've done in our lives and done for our lives, Jesus. I thank you again for just all of your goodness and your grace, Lord. And it's in your precious name, Father, we pray. Amen.